We're happy to welcome back, right here in the studio, our friend Sean Latch from the Versant Power Astronomy Center and the Jordan Planetarium. Sean, welcome.
Great to be back.
You must be pretty darn busy the way things are going lately.
Yeah, just a little bit. Between James Webb Space Telescope and all the cool new images, including most recently Neptune and Mars.
That was incredible.
Just stunning. And of course, we haven't had a good view of Neptune like that, you know, since the Voyager. So really, really incredible. And and then of course Monday we had the Dimorphos Didymos asteroid impact, so that was pretty cool. Of course, watching that impact,
that was unbelievable. Nice. That was right out of science fiction.
Yeah, science fiction, and something that, you know, astronomers have been talking about for some time is, you know, we know we've been hit by asteroids in the past. We know we will get hit in the future. It's just a matter of time. So, you know, what's the best way to deal with these things? And we know blowing them up, you know, like they, you know, did in Armageddon or Deep Impact is not the best way to do this thing. But we've known for a while that if you could give an asteroid a push, that would be helpful. And that's basically what this craft did. It was like a small golf cart sized object that struck what was about the size of a pyramid in terms of mass at 14,000 miles an hour. So quite a wallop. And it would change, you know, is believed to have changed the orbit of that asteroid. So we'll know more in the next week or so, because it takes a little while to be able to make all the measurements. But it was a successful attempt, and we're hoping that this would be a good way of dealing with future asteroid impacts. Now, the key thing is discovering them far enough in advance, because you can't do this like a week out or so.
Right.
But we know quite a few of them, and there are monitoring, you know, stations in progress to try to keep track of near-Earth asteroids.
Now, how far away was this asteroid?
It wasn't that far. It made a relatively close pass in 2020 or so. So it wasn't all that far out. A ways, though. I mean, this still was something that it took them, you know, I think the craft was launched back in July, so it took a few months to get out there. So you're probably looking at something that was, you know, about maybe half an astronomical unit away or so. You know, maybe a little farther.
And the size of a pyramid, but we were able to hit it that far away.
Yeah, well, the targeting, I mean, NASA's targeting is pretty amazing. I mean, if you look at the way they've been able to land on, you know, Mars and a whole variety of other areas, they get it down to a really tight, you know, really tight window. So, yeah, this is pretty interesting. And they, you know, going in, they actually took imagery all, you know, almost the last second and got a really stunning view of this asteroid as well. And they did it with this double asteroid because that way they can actually measure sort of the effect, the gravitational impact, and basically what they're trying to do is just change the orbit of the one. And so that will help them with that.
That was very cool. Also, when we were talking about before we came on, great chances to view Jupiter, the closest it's been to Earth since 1963. And just with binoculars last night, we were able to really see some cool stuff.
Yeah, it's stunning right now. And, you know, the next couple of weeks in particular, get out and take a look. Binoculars will give you the moons of Jupiter quite easily. Small telescope will give you some cloud bands and the gray red spot. But Jupiter at, again, probably its brightest in several years, and also its largest angular diameter, about roughly 50 arc seconds across, which is quite large for it. So definitely something to be looking at, and lots of detail through small telescopes.
The poor Artemis mission, one issue after another, and now, of course, delayed because of the hurricane.
Yeah, that is an issue. So we, of course, are set up to stream it in full dome. We're one of about 100 domes nationwide who can do that. And we've tried twice now, you know, just to open up the dome and let people come in and check it out. But both times it's been scrubbed. It was supposed to go yesterday, but now with the hurricane, that's going to change things. So we're hearing right now the end of October, beginning of November, probably the earliest based on updated things. We'll get more information. I tell folks, keep your eye on our social media pages. And once we know something, we'll kick it out. But we are hoping to live stream the event, and it'll be the closest thing to being there for those who can't make a trip down to Florida, you know, so, and yeah, hopefully, again, big hopes for Jessica Meir. We're hoping she's on number 3, which is the first one to land, in theory, on the surface of the moon. So,
and apparently, I didn't see it, but plenty of people in Maine saw the rocket a couple of nights ago that was launched.
Yeah, there was, of course, a really nice trail. It looked like, you know, for some folks who weren't used to seeing that, looked a little bit like a comet tail. But yeah, we can occasionally, you know, get views of some of these different rockets, you know, particularly if they're a night launch and, right. and reflect, so you get some pretty nice views.
Sean Latch with us from Versant Power Astronomy Center. Let's talk about what's going on at the center as we swing into the month of October. And starting Saturday, you kick off a new program at 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll learn about black holes.
Yeah, so this Saturday and Sunday, we actually have special programming because it's Friends and Family Weekend. So we have a whole sort of cadre of shows, if you will, from black holes to, of course, you know, EXO, Are We Alone? That takes a look at exoplanets in our solar system. Explore, which looks at going to Mars. Big Astronomy, Secrets of the Universe, and even a music show that evening, Pink Floyd, which I see is actually missing from the homepage, but is on our bit. But it is there, Pink Floyd at 6 p.m. on Saturday night as well. And then Sunday, October 2nd, we have We Are Stars and Incoming as additional programs for Friends and Family Weekend. Our regular programs during October on Friday nights at 7 we have a new show called Living Worlds that we brought in from California Academy of Science, narrated by Davi Diggs of Hamilton
nice.
And you know, Snowpiercer fame. But this show takes a look at how life has changed the surface of our world and how we are using that to look for life in our own solar system, but also elsewhere in the cosmos. So a really fun show, lots of great graphics and wonderful narration in that program. Spooky Skies is our family show for October, of course, taking a look at some of the objects in our sky that are scary, creepy, and spooky, but are, you know, have, you know, sort of astronomical counterparts like vampires and black holes and nebula and ghosts and zombie stars and all that kind of fun stuff. And also how Halloween's an astronomical holiday. Again, it's related to the cross-quarter days and things of that nature. And then we have a brand new music show that we've been working on. Monster Mash, Holiday Spooktacular.
Love it.
So, Thriller, Purple People Eater, Monster Mash, of course, American Gothic, The Raven from Alan Parsons Project, Ooh. Some really great music in this show, set to stunning full dome, spooky, scary, creepy videos and video full dome effects. So, should be fun for the whole family, and we'll probably do a special thing on the 30th with costumes, too. We're waiting to announce that, but do keep an eye out for that. So those are sort of our regular, you know, our regular shows. But this weekend, Friends and Family Weekend, very popular time. Lots of different shows to choose from. So and I do tell folks, get tickets early because this is a weekend we tend to sell out relatively rapidly. And so book tickets early. Also, one last chance, if you haven't caught Star Dreaming, our September show, Friday nights, which takes a look at Australian astronomy. This Friday at 7, the last chance to see that. And Friday nights, we open up the Clark Observatory when the weather cooperates. And I'm guessing this Friday and Saturday are looking pretty good. So we're expecting to be able to get some great views of Jupiter then, along with a number of other things. So, yeah, lots going on. Oh, and one last event I didn't want to forget to mention. Saturday evening, we also have a partnership program with the Challenger Learning Center for JWST. The first JWST community event was at our facility back in July with the first image releases. This one we're doing at the Challenger Center from 6 to 8 p.m. On Saturday night. And that program, it's going to involve in an art activity led by the Zillman Art Museum. Challenger's going to be doing some bits. And I will also be there to talk a little bit about some of the images, but also to do some telescope viewing of things too. And one of the things that JWST has recently looked at is Jupiter. So we'll probably be looking at Jupiter through the telescope too. So yeah, lots going on right now. It's been really busy, but it's been good. Really looking forward. We've got some cool things coming up as well going forward. We've got some great stuff. We're going to have a solstice concert in December with a local artist who's composed some music. Actually a new main choral instructor at our university is looking to do a choral concert in December too in the dome. So yeah, we've got some fun stuff coming up.
Excellent. Well, check out the website for more information. Sean, great to see you as always.
Great to see you guys.
We'll catch you again in about a month or so.
Sounds great.
Sean Latch from the Versant Power Astronomy Center, Jordan Planetarium at the University of Maine.